hours and hours and hours of like amazing podcasts on the science, but all you have to know is it's like supremely good for you. So if it's, hey, longevity and feeling good is important, great. If it's, you know, actually the ice bath for me gets me into a meditative state where I can feel my emotions, great. You know, if the sauna and some of this emotional programming is good, if it's just like, I want to go out and replace alcohol and be there. So for a lot of people who struggle with drugs, a cold plunge is amazing because it stimulates dopamine in the brain, but it actually increases your reserve dopamine levels. And so for people who are repatterning addiction from like cigarettes, alcohol, cocaine, ice baths, fantastic. So there's just plenty of reasons that like going to a healthy community space can be valuable. But again, it's just an invitation. So we just...
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome, everyone, once again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Robbie Ben. Robbie, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. Excited to be here and grateful.
Yeah, grateful to have you. Guys, I literally to prepare for this interview, I just utilized your app. Robbie is founder of Othership. He's building the future of emotional wellness through social bathhouse experiences and an immersive breathwork app that I just used. You guys are located out of West Toronto, is that correct?
That's correct.
But you're looking to build this out nationally, internationally. Tell me about the vision of Othership.
Yeah, we've signed just in the past couple of weeks, two leases in New York, one in Brooklyn and one in Manhattan, and both will launch end of year. And so we have one part of our concept is this idea of community emotional wellness in a bathhouse, so sauna and ice bath environment. So guided emotional classes in this environment that are done together, classes on releasing anger, loving kindness, couples connection, even up-tempo energizing classes with, you know, head dunks in the water, down-tempo meditation-like sound bath style classes. So it's a space where in a very easy and accessible way, you can access emotions in a group. And at night there's wellness events. So, you know, DJs will come in, people will be playing saxophones and djembes and dancing around in that environment. And so the Othership brand itself is creating tools and space to shift your emotional state. So we have, you know, multi units of these bathhouses spreading to multiple cities, and then an app that's a companion. So when you go home, you have breathwork practices to, we'll get into what they're for, but sure. A large amount of easy accessible breathwork practices to, again, help you shift your emotional state.
Yeah. Generally, when I think meditation and that inner work, I'm thinking like I'm in a dark room at my home. You're bringing like this full community immersive experience. Talk about the community aspect of it, why that's so important and why that's working for so many people.
Yeah, I think traditionally wellness has been a solo journey. And so for me, I struggle with addiction. to overcome a pretty severe addiction to alcohol and cocaine, I got into meditation retreats, 10-day Vipassana retreats, psychedelic medicine retreats, therapy, a whole bunch of different things. And it was kind of crafting that on my own to help overcome some of these challenges I had. And, you know, when you're in this health and wellness state, it's like, oh, I gotta go do my workout and do my meditation and my journaling and my flow to my doctor and all these different things. And they're all kind of done alone. And that alone time is limited. However, we all have social time at night. It's usually where the social time is where the most damage is done. So, you know, bars. A night out, a bar, a restaurant, a comedy show, a sporting event that includes 4, 6, 12, 24 drinks. And, but that's the time that's fun. It's the time that we look forward to going to see a movie, going to a theme park, you know, all these different things, where we find life's enjoyment. And so the idea was, what if you could take that social time and make it more impactful, more healthy, more fun, with activities that we're serving. And so I think it's a really unique way of looking at, you know, instead of, hey, I'm depressed, I'm speaking with a therapist, which is valuable. It's like, hey, well, maybe my friends and I are going to go together and work on gratitude or compassion, or just have a good time doing a plunge and conquering our fears together. So I think the community aspect allows the event to become social, and gives it a lot more accessibility because it's more fun, more enjoyable.
I love this. I want to get into your story, but one question just came up. How do you recommend I ask my friends without, do you find that people find this is weird or like pseudoscience-y? Like, how do I approach it? And this is coming from someone who's entirely on board, but what if my friends don't do breath work? How do I approach that kind of conversation?
Yeah. So I think that was a big question we had, was like, hey, we've been doing this in our garage for years with a small group. And do people really want to work on their emotions in a class? And, you know, we opened in Toronto, which has a spiritual community, but the community itself is very like mainstream standard, what you would see in any major city. And that's the people we're targeting, people that don't have a practice. And so we wanted things to be as accessible as possible. So we don't go into any pseudoscience. We don't really discuss language of a spiritual nature. You have your own beliefs. That's totally fine. Yeah. So space itself is, you know, science-backed practices that have been around since the beginning of time in almost all cultures. The sauna and the cold plunge is, you know, since the beginning of time. And at the same time, leading athletes, scientists, health and wellness podcasts, research papers on the power of breath work, sauna and cold plunge just make it very clear. There's like a ton of evidence. And so generally, if we're like, hey, you know, you want to come out to this sauna ice bath experience on Thursday night to a friend, it's going to be fun. There's a birthday party or a bachelorette or just us going to catch a meeting. Most people have heard or seen on Instagram somebody doing an ice bath, like, well, that sounds really cool. I'd love to check it out. And so they come to our space expecting, you know, a hot, cold experience that they'd seen on it. It's kind of hard to tell what's happening on Instagram. It's like, whoa, that looks cool, but I don't know why I'm into it. And then the first couple classes are usually social events where it's very accessible. There's no challenge. It's in going towards your emotions. It's just doing that, using these practices. It's a fun environment. And then the classes go deeper and deeper. And so there's classes that are, you know, on your own, meditative, still in a group, but in a very, you know, you're closing your eyes, using your breath, going internal. There are classes that are your eye gazing, your high fiving, you're singing, you're dancing. And, you know, it's like being at a dance party or a fitness class. And then there's classes that are like being at a therapy session where you'll do deep loving kindness and couples sharing love with each other, releasing anger. So like bringing up emotions and screaming. And that's done purposely so that if you're not ready for that level of emotional depth or you're not interested in that, then, you know, you can still come just for a fun time. And so we've seen it. Everything is structured at, hey, I've never done any of this kind of work before, but I want to have fun and enjoy, and maybe I'm becoming more open to it.
This is what I'm going to do to ask people, Robbie, because I live in Rochester, New York. We're under 2 hours, about 2 hours from Toronto. I struggled, still on and off struggle with over excess alcohol abuse. Got a DWI about 10 years ago, so wasn't allowed in Canada. Now I'm officially allowed in Canada, so let's have fun a natural way. So if anybody's listening wants to come out to Toronto with me, we can plan a group. That would be kick-ass fun. But we'll talk about that later offline. Let's hear your story. And I want to slow down. I really want to hear the story behind the story, because it's not like you just rolled out of bed one day and had multiple locations and a big community in this app with DJs and all these guides. Like, we can get into all the incredible stuff you're doing, but what got you here? Because you said you struggled with abuse of different kinds in your past. Well, walk us through what brought you to kind of starting Othership.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very personal story in that through my, you know, from 18 to 30, I struggled pretty heavily with alcohol and cocaine abuse. I would, you know, disappear for 3 days at a time. I had a startup that had failed. So it really went through challenging times, which often leads people to search for, hey, like, something isn't working. Maybe I should try something different. And so, you know, if I was going out in an evening, a casual glass of wine would turn into, I didn't know where, maybe I woke up in a ditch. Like, it just was very, didn't seem like a problem for a long time. And then as I got a bit older, I said, hey, this is, I don't want to be feeling these things anymore. And so I started just kind of being forced to try solutions. And so I ended up, one of the first things I did was I moved away and just thought, hey, if I'm not around same group of people, maybe I can and change. And I moved to Israel and it had an opportunity there. I thought, oh, you know, maybe I can start a different life here and just be away for a period of time. And while I was there, I got into meditation and tried a 10-day meditation retreat called Vipassana, which is really, you're kind of learning what the experience of meditation feels like after 3, 4, 5 days of silence and 10 hours of meditation a day. It's actually the first way you can, you know, it's still like you're at the beginner, but you feel, oh, wow, like doing this thing, I notice my thoughts, my emotions. And so that was a really powerful first step into introspection. And through that, I learned about psychedelic medicines on that retreat, started a journey there. And through those two things, a strong meditation practice and psychedelics periodically, I've been able to refrain from cocaine, stimulants, alcohol for over 7 years now. And that was like very powerful for me. It completely changed my life because I was sober. Work started to go well. I met my girlfriend, who's now my wife and mother of my son. And so, you know, my group of friends changed, the way I thought about myself changed, the way I thought about what it was like to be successful changed. And so over time, I got into Ethereum, which went really well. I joined quite early. And while I was there, I was always like, wow, you know, my life is going so good now. All of a sudden, I feel stable. I have this amazing partner who's supporting me. I have all these awesome hobbies. I feel good every single day. I feel healthy. And, you know, I was making money. And so I wanted other people to feel like this. And so I experimented for 4 or 5 years with a ton of different modalities. So like having people over to meditate, you know, recommending psychedelic medicine retreats. My wife and I, our first date was actually at a bathhouse doing a cold plunge because we'd heard about it on a health and wellness podcast. And so we had done that for years, every single week, because I didn't want to be around alcohol. And so everything that Othership became was just testing different modalities that helped me to stay sober and find a community of friends also interested in that lifestyle. And then to help friends who weren't in that lifestyle to like get into it as well. And what I realized was meditation, psychedelics were really difficult tools, despite them working quite well for me. They weren't like a best starting point necessarily for some people. And so we found that we moved back to Toronto, and in Toronto, we were thinking, hey, we should rebuild a community who's interested in entrepreneurship and biohacking and health and wellness and meaning and all these feelings. And so we started with just an ice bath in our backyard. And in that backyard, that ice bath grew to 300 people, 400 people, 500 people. And it was just a free, you know, you'd open the gate and there was an ice bath there ready to use with towels and a fire pit. And it was just kind of good to go. And so that grew into a small community. It was just a side project we were doing with three of our best friends. And it was something that was fun because every night we would hang out, ask people what their healthy habits were, just chat with people in the neighborhood, go to local restaurants and gyms, invite them over. And then from there, as it got colder, we built in my garage a sauna and ice bath, a tea room. And then we just put up a Dropbox link to like share calendars and say when you're going to go. And we started charging donations. And that became just, I was still working on Ethereum. It became a small business. And it was so much fun. We'd be in there every night meeting all these cool people. It was kind of the connections, the community I wanted to be part of. People interested in entrepreneurship and therapy and self-help and art and all these, lovely things that people were doing. I kept learning about all these, the dark retreats and just kind of interesting people that were looking to connect. And we found that the ice bath and the sauna was such a phenomenal environment. You're putting your phone away. And for an hour and a half, you're not thinking at all about your phone. You're feeling amazing from the endorphins related to the hot and cold. So it's fantastic for connecting with strangers and getting over any anxiety. And so we ran that business with my five friends. Each of us would do a shift once a week, twice a week. And we ran that for the evenings for a number of years until, COVID hit. And so when COVID hit, we started doing a lot of the breathwork techniques we were using online. And because we did them online, Zooms were growing and it was during COVID, people were freaking out. We just did them for free and we had these amazing electronic music backdrops. So the idea was Friday night breathwork, but also with some movement, kind of like a dance party. And so the music, which is much different than a traditional meditation or mindfulness course, was, electronic, hip hop infused, heavy beats, very much like you're listening to a favorite set on SoundCloud. And so those sessions were combining, amazing meditations with breath work, with this fun music, with movement. And they grew to like hundreds of people. And then we, started recording them, putting them on YouTube. We turned that into a course. Then people were asking for an app. And so finally we built an app. And at that point, that's when it became full-time for myself, my wife, and my three best friends who were in the garage every night. So we created all the content on the app from scratch, wrote all the scripts, recorded and mastered each track and kind of put them all out just as a passion. So we saw a lot of people who had struggled to meditate traditionally, or maybe weren't ready for therapy or couldn't afford it, saying like, hey, this is really helping me. We just thought, wow, this is really fucking cool. Like you can listen to this and breathe along and have a state change. Wow, that's so simple. That's so accessible. It's so powerful. And so when COVID started to end, we decided like, hey, we've got this big community that's, using this app. They're coming to our space. Let's build a bigger space. This feels like it can fit a lot more people.
Yeah.
So we opened a much larger space with a 50-person sauna and four ice baths and a tea room with the idea that we'd have, as I mentioned before, these emotional wellness, like full-on classes, kind of similar to like if you'd been to a fitness class before with a guide, performance, amazing music, smells, this whole space perfectly designed. And so we launched that about a year ago. And then when that launched, we weren't sure if, this is going to be for everybody. And it turns out it definitely is. And there's just a large group of people who want to socialize and connect at night without alcohol in new ways, be around other people who are interested. There's so many people who are learning about all these modalities and they want to connect with each other, and our entire social infrastructure is built around alcohol. And so there's not too many healthy social activities. And so that was the goal. And then since we've had success, the idea was, well, let's open more. And so we're opening a new one in Toronto and two new ones in New York. And then hopefully we can build these in every city in North America.
Amazing. I'm literally, my jaw is dropping because the timetable you just gave me, you guys are innovating and moving quick. Why or how do you think you guys are able to accomplish so much growth and expansion in such a suppressed amount of time?
Well, I think one, what we're building, we're product experts. And so my two co-founders lived in Europe and are trained. They call them sauna masters, off-goose ritual masters. And so they trained under the world champion for a number of years. We'd been going to bathhouses for every week for, 6-7 years. Between the five of us, I've probably been to 70 to 100 bathhouses worldwide. And bathhouse being like a, thermal spa, Russian banya, Turkish hammam, Japanese onsen across many countries. And so it was a massive hobby. We've also been very into these, psychedelics and meditation and breath work, doing the Wim Hof training, a number of other, retreats. I've been on just dozens of retreats. And so I had a deep, deep passion for this thing, for the idea of like creating community and building experience. So it wasn't like we started, like we had a very good idea of the problem and what we wanted to build. And then there's five of us, right? And so you have five people who, like, this is part of my life. It's part of my, you know, I get so mad if I read like a negative review, which I shouldn't, but I take it to heart so much. I feel like it's like, oh, this person is like saying something about my DNA because the business is so tied into our belief system. So we just really care. And so when you really care like that much about the impact you're having and the product you've built and like a pursuit of excellence, I think you just work really hard. So I think there's five of us working kind of 70 hours a week. And then we test fast also. So, you know, it was okay, let's just have an ice bath in a backyard. And then I was like, well, maybe it's like an ice bath in a junior sauna. Instead of waiting and raising a whole bunch of money and building something huge, it was just like, let's just get this up and see what happens. You know, that initial garage had no permit. And so it wasn't even technically a legal business. And so it no longer exists, but it was at the time, you know, hey, like, will people come and like use this thing? And I think a lot of people would have just said, oh, I don't know how to build a bathhouse. And, you know, went and talked to a ton of advisors and people who'd done this before. So, you know, the founders of SoulCycle was able to get in touch with Elizabeth and get some advice, people from crazy fitness brands, even just local people. I'd go to a local gym and say like, hey, what booking system are you using? I would go to a local float and say, can I do a cleaning shift and just see how your checklists work? And so I would just go to similar businesses, ask for help, run one or two shifts and learn fast. But I had a business before my first startup. When I've had a couple of businesses, but I had my first startup when I was 24. I thought, I just know what to do. I can do it. I'm smart. I can figure it out. And I'd spend days figuring out these complicated solutions, weeks, and then they wouldn't work. And I tried again. And the reality is most things out there, there's answers for, and you don't need to solve. Like, you don't need to solve the cleaning checklist for your space. You know, there's someone who's got a perfect cleaning checklist. And the same with like your billing and booking system, the same with your social media and website launch. So what you need to determine is, like, for us, the uniqueness is in the content on the app, and then the content and programming in the space and the design of the space. So all the efforts that you can't outsource, but everything else you can. And so we just spent a lot of time like really asking for help to make sure our processes were tight, rapidly testing. And then I just like hard work, but then a deep love for the product and like the solution and resonating with people who, you know, struggle with the same things that we do.
It's so special. So very, very hard work on one side, but deep fulfillment and passion for what you do. And you're kind of riding that middle wave between the two. I'm really impressed just from a business context. You guys obviously know what you're doing. You're learning from others. You're working together. You're working hard. Part of what's kind of coming up in my head is, do you feel that you're wired any differently, or does breath work and the ice baths and like it, what is the blend between? Are you just wired different, or do these care practices put you in a position where you can overachieve? Like, what's the blend between the two? I guess the question is, are you wired differently, and where does breath work come into play?
Yeah, I'm definitely wired differently. I'm insane. You know, like always have been a person who loves stimulation. So extreme sports, these crazy retreats. I can watch 20 hours of Netflix in a row. I could get up and like go to 100 events. Like, I'm just very competitive, driven, outgoing. You know, so it's partly the magic is, you know, I would go to 200 places locally and I would talk to everyone there and like try to get them to come in. And when you're starting, you just need that energy of, we're going to make this happen no matter what. And it can come in any form. So it's not like, hey, I'm wired. Anyone can be wired for success and like how that form is for them. But the idea is that, look, we're starting, nobody's going to help you. You have to just make it happen. Like, okay, how are we getting people to come and do this random ice bath in a garage, like a, you know, someone's backyard? Like, that's weird. But it wasn't weird when I would talk about it because I loved it so much. I was like, oh my God, like, you can't believe it. You're going to come. We're going to have a fire. It's going to be amazing. We're going to do two people in here. You're going to connect like you've never felt alive like this. And people are like, okay, what is this guy talking about? But like, he loves it. So, you know, let's check it out. And so I just found most of the success is just like that founder energy of, because you care so much about what you're doing. It's like very, very clear that it's like, whoa, I want a part of that too. So I think there's that. I don't think the ice bath and these practices haven't given me superpowers to perform. They've just kept me from melting down. And so on the flip side of, you know, all our team has different superpowers. One of my partners is a restaurateur. He's incredible at like risk management and checklists. So, okay, we're, you know, finding a new site, negotiating the lease, doing the financial model, managing the construction team, everything on target. Like that stuff is fucking hard. And he's done that a number of times. So building out now $3 million units is, it's intense. And so he's like a master in that. My wife is super detail oriented about brand and language, how our stuff is portrayed at every email. The transactional emails look perfect. The descriptions are fantastic. So she manages the app, our dev team. My two other partners are from who I mentioned are experts in content and programming. And so they're musicians and artists and script writers and performers. And so, you know, they find their value from performing and service to others and seeing the look of awe on customers' faces. And so you just need to find your crew and allow everybody to like really get into their own superpowers. But for me, why I love the hot cold is just because I have this list always in my head. Like I can't shut off. It's like, I have to do this. I have to do that. This voice of you have to do more, you have to achieve. And in breathwork as like a super type A, high powered, hard charging person, I'm like a crazy person. And so it's so hard. You know, I used to do this with drugs and alcohol. And so the hot and cold is the first thing that allows me to just like quiet my mind. It, like every time, no matter what, the most stressful thing could be happening. If I come into a cold plunge, when I come out, I just stop for a minute. So if you're listening and you're like, fuck, you know, I'm on my phone all day long. I'm just checking it. I'm with kids. It just feels like everything's pushing on me. Like breath work, a 10 or 15 minute breath work session, a cold plunge. These things can help you just stop and get into your body. And yeah, it's just so powerful.
It is powerful just to stop and create a little bit of space to ease in, be present, decompress. You know, it's brilliant. You mentioned I could watch 20 hours of Netflix straight. You said earlier, like you get a negative review, even if it's like 1 out of 1,000 and it still could be triggering. And you're not this superhuman with superhuman powers. It's not like doing a plunge or starting breath work is going to make you a superhuman. But it sounds like by making decisions that are positive for yourself and the people surrounding you, you can channel all that nervous, outgoing, type A energy into something powerful. I think that's brilliant because one big red flag. So this is total tangent, but I've been studying cults. I think it's very fascinating. And the hugest red flag is this is the golden ticket. This is the solution. This is the key. It sounds like none of these things are the solution, but it creates space to find other solutions, to calm your mind. It seems like anybody in this hustle bustle world could benefit from these kind of practices.
I mean, it's just an invitation. You know, the question is like, what do you need? And so,
yeah.
One, the practices just on a physiological level are fantastic for longevity, all three practices. So, you know, reduced inflammation, improved detoxification, reduced risk of cardiovascular disease. It's like exercise. You can think of it like exercise in a way. So just like all you have to know, and there's hours and hours and hours of like amazing podcasts on the science, but all you have to know is it's like supremely good for you. So if it's, hey, longevity and feeling good is important, great. If it's, you know, actually the ice bath for me gets me into a meditative state where I can feel my emotions, great. You know, if the sauna and some of this emotional programming is good, if it's just like, I want to go out and replace alcohol and be there. So for a lot of people who struggle with drugs, a cold plunge is amazing because it stimulates dopamine in the brain, but it actually increases your reserve dopamine levels. And so for people who are repatterning addiction from like cigarettes, alcohol, cocaine, ice baths, fantastic. So there's just plenty of reasons that like going to a healthy community space can be valuable. But again, it's just an invitation. So I'm also, you know, in cults where it's, I think that's the old mentality of like, do these five things and like, you're there. I think it's just like, everybody's different. Do what you want. Here are some things that can make you feel good and, you know, choose how you want to use them.
Walk us through. So it's an invitation, and I'm one of these people. I'm sometimes slow to adopt And then when I find something I love, I'm all in. But I'll come in, my palms are maybe a little sweaty, haven't done it before, don't know what to expect. Whether it's, you don't have to give names, or you could, you know, a concrete example of someone walks in, don't know what to expect. What does the experience look like? What does that transformation experience kind of look like on an individual level?
Yeah. So when you come in, you know, there's been 60,000 journeyers. So I would say we're probably the number, we've probably had the most people through a guided ice bath. I know for sure we've had the most people through a guided ice bath in the world at this stage. And so, like, we're just very experienced. And of those 60,000 people, like 58,000 are first timers. And of those 58,000, 99% are nervous. Like, that is just the one. It's like, you're nervous just to do something new in the first place. You don't know how a space feels. And so everything was designed to make you feel safe. The color of the lighting, the angles of the space don't allow for people to like really be staring at you, the music, the smells. So when you come in, there's someone who greets you. Hey, here's your two towels. They'll walk you to your locker. They'll take you into a beautiful tea room with stadium seating around a fire. So we've sat around a fire as human beings since the beginning of time. We're comfortable. I feel safe around a fire. We have a very specific lighting pattern to make you feel safe. And a guide comes in, says, hey, you know, who's been here before? You kind of look around and say, like, these are the people that you're relying on tonight. That's okay. You know, if you're struggling, then it's, as we go in the ice bath, if you just want to put a hand in, a foot in, it's just an invitation. You know, we're going to be guiding for X amount of time, but it's you're the captain of your own journey. We'll say often is the other ship. And it's like your ship, your responsibility, your ship, your journey. And so we really make it clear that, hey, like, nothing is expected of you. It's not a contest. There's no ego. It's just a journey that you can take part in. It's an invitation, as I mentioned. And so people come into the sauna. They start with a, you know, 15, 20 minute sauna. The different benches have different levels of heat. So you can sit near the bottom. If you're, it's your first time, you can sit near the top. If you're a veteran, if you want to come out, you can put your hand up, they'll walk you out. And so everything is really geared to make sure people feel safe. When people come out, we do the ice baths in pairs. And so in the ice bath, you're paired with a partner to help give you strength. Maybe you'll hold hands, maybe you'll eye gaze, maybe you'll close your eyes, but like be there together. And there's groups of eight and then another group behind watching to kind of all give support. And there's a guide walking through, giving you help. So the entire time, the experience is guided with just like a ton of support. And having done so many people through, we're prepared for almost any situation that might pop up with people being nervous, not wanting to get in, totally fine. If you feel, hey, I couldn't do it, I want to go back later, totally fine. Also, there's a chance for you to come back after the session to kind of finish. So a lot of love, care, practice has just went in over the last 3 years with guiding people through these things and really working on like that first timer experience.
I love this. And I hope, I have listeners from all over the place. I mean, mostly in the United States, but Spain, Dubai, Bangladesh. And I hope everyone listening, you might not be able to make it to a other ship location, but listen to the attention to detail. Listen to the care for the consumers and the building of tribes and the mentor-mentee relationship between the people that have been there and the people that are new. Like, I feel like we could really break down just a customer experience just looking at the full picture of what you're doing. And one thing that got me into other ship was the customer experience of the app itself. So let's talk about that, because that's something that is accessible to anyone. And I know personally, I already touched on this. I've touched on it before, but struggled with alcoholism, struggled with drug abuse on and off. For me, like binge eating, binge Netflix, binge sex when I was younger, never being able to commit to something. I have a lot of scars, and it really allows me to stand up and actually do what I do today at a higher level. Like, I'm so blessed that they happened. But something like the other ship app has just been huge for me, because I too struggle slowing down. Literally, I'll work 14 hours a day and just be like excited about it. And creating that space, I mean, some of the sessions, you go into like a 45 minute deep experience, and by the end, they take you through a visualization, and I'm like looking at my younger self. And this sounds silly, me just saying it, but do it, you'll feel it. I'm like looking at my younger self in the eyes and forgiving myself. And like, I cried, and I'm like, wow, like this is something that's literally in my hand. The music's better than the stuff I find on Spotify. That's my, this is not an endorsement. There's no coupon code. I just think it's badass. When, tell us what's your experience with the app? I could ask you a million things. I guess let's start. What's your reflection on what I just shared? Let's start there.
It sounds amazing. I mean, it sounds, one, it's just super, makes me feel really good because a lot of the problems you mentioned were things that I've struggled with, and to know like other people can find these tools in a way that it works for them is really powerful to hear. And there's just so much work. Like each one of those sessions takes 20 to 40 hours to make, even if it's 10 minutes. Like we'll, you know, what we'll do is like listen to our customers. So we'll get 10 power users on a Zoom and just say, hey, what problems are you struggling with? And someone will be like, oh, you know what? I'm really struggling with like lack of love. And I don't feel like I'm lovable. I feel like I'm a bad person. It's like, okay. So we'll go into psychology today and we'll read a couple books about like self-love and what are the practices to create self-love. And so we'll write a script and then we'll say like, okay, well, this kind of music fits a self-love pattern, you know, and for self-love, you need to like forgiveness is a big concept there, which you mention. And so you need to bring up these moments you feel guilty about and try to forgive yourself and then send love, you know, find moments of gratitude in your body where you found love and then send it back to yourself. And so we found that from reading through research papers, talking to psychologists, wrote out the script and then put together music that matches and breathing patterns that are going to bring you into that state. And so self-love is a really powerful one, you know, you need 30 minutes for that. And so that's how that came about. So there's like the scripting, the breath work, the music selection, the mastering, then there's like the vocal tone on it. So just do that over and over. And it's for fun to help our users, you know? And so people are struggling with anger. So let's do an anger release. Oh, I'm struggling with breakup. So there's one called cutting the cord for breakups, for death, for grief. We had a bunch of people in our space coming in for a couple session we did, which had a guided cold plunge where you eye gaze, you get out and you hug each other. Then you go in the sauna and there's some self-guided massage of you and your partner, another eye gaze where you share when you felt most supported.
Wow.
It's amazing guided date, which like, you know, normally you go for a bottle of wine and talk about the movies and your kids and your work. And like, never do you ask the question like, hey, when did I feel most supported? And so that was so popular that we decided to create an intimacy track for the app. So now there's 18 intimacy, you know, things from like self-pleasure, like looking in the mirror and like kind of out there stuff, but stuff that again is like science backed from intimacy counselors we work with. And it's got, you know, partner eye gazing, partner breathing, partner guided sexuality, partner touching, sharing desires. And so just listening to what customers are struggling with and then like going deep. So there's not like, you know, there's 500 or 600 plus, maybe even more now sessions in the libraries. It's big, but it's not as big as Insight Timer or some of these larger meditation apps, but it's very much geared towards solving specific problems you would in therapy, but at a really affordable price point and in a way that it's kind of fun and like cool also. And so for those listening, there's also 31 guided ice bath sessions on the app as well. So if you just, you know, in your bathtub, put the water fully cold, go in and you can try one of the 2 or 3 minute guided cold shower ice bath sessions. If there's, if you have access, if you live in the, you know, East Coast, or somewhere in the winter, the water's generally pretty cold right out the tap.
That's fascinating. I haven't done the ice bath sessions. You kind of went through the process, but quickly. What is the order, or is it organically kind of comes in? What, like, does the music come second? The reason I'm asking this is the music is incredible. Like, for me, I've got noise-canceling phones I put on. I put it on, close my eyes, you know, block the light with a bandana, something like that. Eye mask is the word I was looking for. The music in some of them will get you like dancing, and a lot of the things. All right, so I don't regret it. There's no shame behind it. I love music to the point where there was a time I was going to music 6 days a week. And it ties into the late nights, the drinking, the eating poorly, the bar food, things like that. And the music's just freaking incredible. So I asked that question, like, how do you time the breathing counts in the guide with the music? What does that process look like? Because if anyone's a musician or loves music, that's reason itself to try the app because, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, so we'll think about the breathing pattern first of like what style of breathing, you know, is this a down-regulated session, which is, you know, long, slow exhales, breath retention, slow breathing to get into the rest and digest side of the nervous system to relax, to fall asleep. And so is it that style of breath pattern? Is it an up-regulated style breath pattern, which is, you know, that cup of coffee in the morning, fast breathing, turning on the fight or flight, turning on awareness? Or is it, you know, really up-regulated, like explore breathing where you're breathing at that pace for, you know, you mentioned 45 minutes and you're turning off the thinking mind and processing emotions. And so you're reducing the amount of oxygen to the brain, processing strong emotions that are stored in the body, making it easier to deal with, you know, I had mentioned like grief and loss of a job, imposter syndrome, these kind of things. And so each of those three cycles, like we call them up, down, and then all around, just there's so many styles of breathing and so many names, but we just made the app super simple. You either want to go up, boost your energy, you want to go down, relax, or like you're dealing with challenging problems, you're getting ready for sleep, or you want to go all around, which is like exploring your emotions, almost like a psychedelic medicine experience. And each one has a breathing pattern and cadence. So first thing is like, okay, well, this is an anger release, so it's probably a 20 minute all around. And then the thought would be like, okay, well, the music for that has to be pretty up tempo. It's got to match this pace. And so we'll go in and listen to just hundreds and thousands of hours of royalty free libraries, or we'll work with producers and say like, hey, this is a style. Here's an example of 10 songs we've used for anger before. Can you make similar? And then you actually have to cut them to match the breathing. So if you're, you know, in count, in two, out two count, in four, out four count, big breath in and hold on the release, maybe there's a scream or some type of roar. We use a lot of vocalizations. And so the music is perfectly timed on the holds, on the releases, on the yells. We're layering in NLP sounds, heartbeat, breath work, like breath sounds. And so I think what makes it really special is instead of a traditional meditation, it's a very professionally produced, it's more like a, we look at it more like a piece of art, like a set, like a music set than a classic meditation, and which makes it, I think, like a little more fun. And so the goal is to just continue to create that level of content with bigger and bigger artists as breathwork and the brand grows.
It's a random question, but I know a lot of musicians, so came to mind. Is there a way that people can get involved?
Reach out. Yeah. Reach out to our Instagram, Othership, @Othership, just DM and say, hey, I want to contribute to the app and, you know, happy to discuss.
I'm not going to go too deep down this rabbit hole because we don't have time, but you've mentioned psychedelic medicine a few times. What positive role has that played into your life? I want to kind of kill some of the negative stigma that it's not like you just take this drug and see rainbows and then go and jump off a cliff. What is your experience with psychedelic medicine been like?
I mean, extremely positive, but I look at it as a tool very much the same way as I'd look at exercise, hot, cold, breath work, therapy, is a tool that for me specifically helped me to process old emotions related to growing up, traumas, you know, fear of failure, fear of rejection, uncomfortable things that happen, fear of not being loved. And so when I've worked with psychedelics and they've been most impactful, was generally with a therapist and working through like, hey, these are the things that are coming up, my core beliefs. And I would take the psychedelic medicine and a lot of times process them, you know, things that happened when I was a child that I wanted to let go of that were maybe like, you know, some guilt and shame associated with them. And the psychedelic medicine is what I found they do, like at the deepest level of the body, these root feelings that are stored, they help you to process them. And so there's actually a lot of science. There's a whole field around somatic processing. And so this idea that in our body, when we face trauma, so, you know, somebody made fun of you at recess in grade two and the whole school laughed at you because you fell in the mud or something. And you feel like, you know, you store these feelings, your parents weren't there for you at a time, or, you know, you were in a fight or you were assaulted. Any, there could be big trauma, can be small trauma. Everybody has these things that make up our personality, these hurts that we store and that we're protecting against. And so a lot of times these lead to, like, you know, you mentioned emotional eating, so these things are triggers. And so, you know, something happens that reminds you of a time when you felt unsure, you feel unsure, you go to food. Maybe it's Netflix binging, maybe it's drugs. And so what psychedelic medicine's helped to do is go right to the root core of these items and help to kind of open up and process them. Now, I've found them very powerful for making, for processing these emotions and giving you a window to make change. And so after retreats, I've gone on and come back. And for 30 days, I feel like my willpower is just killer. I'm super, I feel amazing. I feel healthy. I feel like, oh, wow, I can conquer the world. I can do anything. And it's in that time when you actually need to integrate the changes and make behavioral change. And so I also know people who have done psychedelics hundreds of times, you know, and just not made, they've had phenomenal journeys, but have not made a sustainable change. Mm. And so I think this is a tool, but it's not like the tool. And so it's not like, hey, because you work out, you're all of a sudden necessarily healthy. You know, there's other things that you need to do also. So I just think it makes the work easier. And so if I was going to go to a Tony Robbins or a leadership conference or do therapy, I think doing that plus psychedelic medicines beforehand would make the brain more, increase plasticity, allow you to be more flexible and make change. And so for me, when I'd want to change a habit or I'm struggling, it just feels like a nice release when things build up, a nice shower. And over time, I've been able to change a lot of behaviors that I really struggled with by kind of going to the root cause.
Yeah, I have a question about that. I want to reflect with you because I didn't realize this till recently, but I had a memory of when I was like 8. And one of the things that we did is people would take turns reading the lunch for the day, and everyone would select their lunch early on for lunchtime. And one of the items on the lunch list was bologna. Now, I know this now, but bologna is spelled bologna. So I got up there and I looked horrified as I read this word, bologna. And I looked up and people laughed and I didn't know why they were laughing. And I look back and I'm like, I've defined myself as kind of quiet and introverted. And is it just because little moments like that created this mindset that I was unsafe if I was in front, that I'm going to make a mistake? And it's interesting because you mentioned it's not like I can just flick a switch and then no longer have any kind of social anxiety. But you said it, it's not a superpower, right? This is more a tool to integrate a different way of being, a way of living, compartmentalize the past, and then be a better person going forward. So I'm curious, did you have something you wanted to throw in there?
No, everybody has those moments. So totally, totally resonate. And as I've been doing this work, more and more come up from my life and she's like, oh, it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. You know, I remember a kid at recess saying, oh, you're like, shut up, watermelon lips, some older kid, and kids laughed at me. And, you know, I have a scar on my lip where my tooth went through when I was young, and went home and cried. And just little, like, you know, I remember kind of being a pure child, like so happy and very blessed childhood until maybe 5 and going to school and making this sign, like the rock club, and having all these rocks and like kids like kind of playing together, like, yeah, we're part of this rock club. And some older kid come and rip the sign and kick all the rocks away. And that was the first time I remember being like feeling bullied and afraid. And so over time, these things happen to everybody. You know, somebody told me a story recently of 5 women in a row from 19 to 20 within, like, you know, he dated 5 women over a 2-year period for a month or two, and they all broke up with him and started dating someone else after. And he said subconsciously he thought, I'm not worthy of love. Like, this happens to me every time, and it totally changed his life. And so these small things can happen and have huge impact. So what I like psychedelic medicines to pull back the layers to allow us to look at those moments and accept them as what they are, and then start to kind of make change. And it's like, you know, I have the same stuff I'm still going into 7 years later, having used these medicines, I don't know, 60, 70 plus times, but behaviors are changing. I'm feeling more than ever like myself, like I was when I was a kid. Mm. So yeah, it's just a long journey, and they're awesome tools, but they won't, you know, this huge misconception of, well, okay, I do this thing 3 times and I'm changed forever. I don't believe that.
And that's why I wanted to ask you about that integration aspect, because whether it's a psychedelic medicine like ketamine that clearly creates neuroplasticity, or the breathwork sessions or the ice baths creating that neuroplasticity, you had mentioned people do some of these things all the time and nothing changes, and then other people do it and then they create a massive shift in their life. What are your thoughts on the kind of integrated lifestyle you need to live to allow, you know, the time you hit the mat, the time you hit the bath, to actually integrate into a better life? Well, what are some of those microscopic changes you think people need to actually do in addition to what you're doing at Othership or what people might do in a psychedelic session?
Yeah, it's completely different for everybody. You know, some people just feel good where they are, or they don't need anything. Some people, you know, want to change but aren't ready. And no matter what you give to them, they're going to revert back to old habits. It's always comes down to the responsibility is somewhat in your hands. Things that have helped me, you know, having a community of people that like the same things I do, that are interested in, you know, going for a sauna and ice bath and talking through emotions, having a coach I can talk to when I'm struggling because I get angry at work, or I don't feel confident, or I feel like an imposter, or that's really hard raising a young child and I'm tired, or, you know, it just, I think at the end of the day, I don't have too much advice on like a specific prescription because it's just so you. But what's been helpful for me is just having like a strong wife that I know like cares about me, and we're kind of on the journey together. And so I think probably number one is just a group of friends. If you're saying to yourself, one, it's firstly, hey, do I care to change? And I'm like, I'm down for it. And if so, great. And if you're not, that's fine too. But if you are, it's nice to have other people supporting you in a place you can go around those people. So if you're like, yeah, I'm definitely quitting drinking, then what you need for integration is to be around other people who are also quitting drinking, you know? So there's so many, there's no like, I could go on and say, oh, well, you should do three ice baths a day and you should do the app every morning, but it's not true. I think you just have to figure out what works for you. And I've worked with people who have been doing this stuff for 10, 12 years and they have relapses, you know, and like, just doesn't matter how much of anything they do. It's just tough. And so if you're out there, like I feel for you and it's hard and, you know, that's fine. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, I think that everything is an invitation. It's your journey, and like try many things to find what works for you, and just keep trying is like kind of the only response, I guess, that's kind of universal.
Find what works for you, keep trying, find supporting staff. I appreciate that answer because, again, if someone thinks they have a perfect solution for you, and by you, I mean the listener, any of us, there is no one-size-fits-all solution. I joke all the time, I love the metaphor, that there is no key to success. There's no key to fulfillment, enlightenment, any of that stuff. It's a combination lock. And each and every one of us has our own unique combination. But what you're helping me realize is the one piece of the combination that I think is universal is the support system. So everyone's combination is going to look different, but I think one aspect has to be other people, or else we're kind of going at it alone. And that might, even that's not square peg round hole. There are people that might be wired differently, but for most of us, sounds like just surrounding yourself with the right people is a big step in what we need to do.
Yeah. I mean, there's this new book out about finding awe in your life. So like this idea of inspiration, meaning, where do I fit in, and being inspired. And there's eight things that lead to like this feeling of awe. And awe was one of the things that made people feel happy and fulfilled. And one of those pieces, like the largest piece, was you would feel awe from seeing other human beings doing something from like very morally just and like high integrity. And so, you know, somebody saving a life under someone from a car that was going to hit, you see a story like that, it's like, wow, you know? And so it can be as easy as, you know, one of your friends passed away and another one of their friends put together the funeral and did everything for the family, or just you see these like good deeds. And so if you can surround yourself with friends where you feel awe and you feel like, wow, they have high integrity, and you see that often, that can bring a lot of happiness and inspiration. And so for me, it was my wife is just person who I like look at and how good of a mom she is and, you know, watch her in life. And like every day I'm amazed that like this person is just incredible. And so that's been really helpful for when I feel, you know, like going back and doing cocaine or being a kind of a degenerate, I will like think like, no, I'm worthy of love because this person loves me because she's amazing. And so it's been really nice to be around people that are like continuously inspiring me.
That's beautiful. Give us one thing in the past week that your wife did that you're just like, ah.
Just the way she looks at our son, you know, like I just, like I'm honestly, I'm overwhelmed. I'm struggling. He's up. I think the other day it was just like, I had a really tough day at work. It's just some emotional discussions, which are always hard with like team members. And then came home and, you know, the baby's just losing it. Like 2 hours crying. And so just sitting there like, man, I can't escape. It's emotionally so hard at work. This is crazy. Like, I don't know what to do. And she just kind of took him and like held it down, you know, and just kind of let me sleep. And like every time that it's in the night, she'll just step up. And I know she's way more tired than me and it's way harder for her. And so you just see that what the sacrifice is to have a child for the mother. And it's like, holy shit. So just seeing her go through that, but like kind of love it too. Like just be like, yeah, I love baby. So every day she's like, I love baby so much. Let's get him. Let's go see him. Let's like, you know, it's just so cute. And so to watch how much love a mother could have, like more than herself, like you can see it in her eyes. It's really amazing to see that level of love from somebody, especially like I'm naturally more selfish than she is. And I've always been like, how do I achieve? How do I feel better? How do I like, I need to do all these things to feel worthy. And so to see someone who's like so selfless with another is like really amazing example.
It's amazing. How old is he?
He's 5 months.
5 months. Amazing. Okay. So I usually end with the rapid fire round.
Cool.
These are all over the place. Random rapid fire question. Points don't matter. I often start off with coffee. You can fill in the blank too. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Let's do some ones I haven't done in a while. So, proudest moment of your business career.
So, a cool one that was like, I don't know, proudest, but one that, like, first one that popped to mind is we were listening to this podcast on SoulCycle that Tim Ferriss had done with Julie Rice, and another one on How I Built This. And when we got started, and I was like, oh, wow, so cool how they thought about creating a spin class, and really was the first of its kind. It was like an experience. Like it was like you were seeing a play with an arc and like five different emotional segments. And I was listening like, wow, like that's so epic. And so I ended up going to New York and doing one of our experiences for Elizabeth, the CEO and co-founder. And the experience made her cry. And at the end of the experience, she said, hey, like this is amazing what you've created. And so to have somebody who was a hero of mine that I would never have expected to meet to like a few years later, do an othership experience and see her cry for my experience felt like just such, like it kind of felt like, and this is a stupid comparison, but like Kobe Bryant was playing in the All-Star game with Michael Jordan and he's like playing against him. And it kind of felt like that. So I don't know how many people get to, you know, do their experience for a hero in experience design. And so that was fucking incredible.
To flip, first off, that is fucking incredible. To flip it on its head, not business aside, one of the proudest moments of your personal transformation from the point that you're struggling to who you are now.
It was at my wedding. I wrote this pretty awesome Substack post, just called The Anti-Wedding. And so we did our wedding during COVID and it was just a day for us. So no bridal parties, only 25, 30 people. So the whole day was actually about us. We got up together. We got ready together. Just spent the time like together. And it was just very, very simple with everything geared at like creating a day for us and our relationship. And when I was giving the speech, I was just talking about transformation. And I was like, you know, 7 years ago before I met Emily, like I was an addict. I had problems with women and dangerous situations and work wasn't working out. And I just didn't feel like a very good person. And I realized standing up there, like, wow, all these people are here supporting me and I'm like a CEO of this business and there's a lot of people that look up to me and I actually like am a good person.
Yeah.
And it's because of this woman and this relationship I told you about, which made me feel like if I'm good enough for her, I am good myself. And so it was the first time I felt self-love. And I just started crying, like fucking tear, like babbling, like just, and I was like, kind of didn't even want to have a wedding. I was like, yeah, whatever, like wedding, who, you know, it's not a big deal. Like who cares? And it was so emotional to like express that change in front of friends and family and to have them like support. It was like one of the first times I'd felt like really worthy in like 15 years.
It's powerful. One, we're going to end with a fun one. So I'm asking for a friend who's me, the app. What are you most excited about right now? Is there a certain session or category? First off, I recommend everybody get started. I think they can get like a month free or something like that. There's some sort of trial.
Yeah. So just you can DM us for the scholarship program and then we can put a link in the show notes for a free month.
Awesome. Okay. So check out the show notes. For whatever reason you struggle with it, send me a DM. I'll make sure we can get you in the scholarship program. So I pop open the app. Oh my God. It's where do we start? But what's exciting you most right now about this app?
Yeah. So I think there's three things. So one is like the classic banger we talked about, and it was just the self-love session. Mm-hmm. I just think it's 30 minutes. It's a bit of a commitment, but you can really feel it. Like you might cry in that session and it brings up these moments of just like, I am worthy. And like, everybody needs to feel that no matter what. So that's a session that I'll always go back to. It's one of my favorites. There's two other things I'm really excited about. So one was in the January, we had a Play It Cool challenge. So it was one new ice bath every day for 31 days. And so I think there's 32 ice bath, guided ice bath sessions. And so It's the first ever guided cold content on any platform. And it's just awesome if you have an ice bath at home or a cold bath to just do these sessions. There's one on there called Release and Build. That's my favorite. It's just an incredible way. And I'd been doing ice baths for 7 years. And so I was like, oh, why don't I need a guide? I just do this by myself. And then I did it. I was like, well, of course you need a guide. This is so much more fun. And then the thing I'm most excited about is we just had a baby. And so, you know, from a sexual standpoint, just hasn't been there or hasn't been a priority. And we're always tired. And so we've released this new intimacy program. And so there's going to be 24 sessions, whether it's like kind of a date replacement at home to guided sex. And so some of the ones there are couples energy and loving bond are both phenomenal. If you have a partner, or even you can do them yourself and just instead of sending love to a partner, send it to yourself. But I think this idea that you can do connect more deeply with a romantic partner is, or with yourself, is what I'm like most excited about. Cause that kind of stuff, it doesn't really exist now. So it's stuff you do at couples counseling, but with like fun music. And so the intimacy section is crazy.
Boom. This has been a journey of a podcast, Robbie. I really appreciate it. For anyone listening at home, I encourage you to check out the show notes. All those links are there. And if you feel kind of uncomfortable or nervous, let me be your friend. Let Robbie be your friend. Reach out, say, hey, you know, I'm looking to try this. I just want some accountability, or I want a peer or something like that. I'm there for you. Robbie's here for you. And how do people reach out to Othership to kind of stay in your orbit? Is there a best way?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, if you want to come up to Toronto and anyone reaches out to you and you put a group together, we'll gift the sessions for free for anyone that you bring for an entire weekend. So happy to organize some kind of trip and have you all come up and host everybody. If people were interested and they DM you, then we can do a mini Ben retreat.
I started planning it mid-sentence right now, man. I'm all about this and I already have some people in mind. So let's make this happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's super easy. Just let me know the dates and we'll, you know, get you set up and it'll be good to go. Yeah. Then ways to follow me. You can follow me on Twitter at RobbieBent1 or Othership on Instagram, follow our email newsletter, but mostly on Instagram.
Love it. You have a Substack?
I have a Substack. I don't use it too much. It's kind of like one of those inspiring, like, oh, I should do it. And I've written two articles, which are pretty high quality. But outside of that, don't use it too much.
Cool, man. We won't worry about that. Dude, you're a breath of fresh air, man. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks, Ben. That was fun, man. I really enjoyed it. And I'm grateful you gave me the time to tell my story.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.
Awesome setup. You know, you just, the background was great. Your voice is great. Your space holding is immaculate. Telling your own story was quite cool. Some of the things you shared. So it was a pleasure. I feel a lot better than I did when I started, and this gave me some energy for the day. So eldership is yours. Consider if you want to come up, man, I would love to host you. So just ping me and we'll happy to. And even if it's not now because of Canada, we can, I mean, we'll be open in New York by December.